Let's stand and turn on our song sheets to number 234, Wonderful Words of Life. Father, I thank you for this evening and all who were able to make it to church tonight. And I pray that you'll be with Pastor as he gives the message tonight and for everyone to listen and understand it, Lord. And I pray that you'll give us safety on our way homes tonight. And in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Well, it's good to see you here tonight. I want to welcome you. Welcome back to church tonight to the in-building service, and it's great to be in the building together as the Lord's people. And also want to say hello and welcome to the people listening on the recording. Thank you so much for doing that. It's great to have you join us in that way as well. And don't touch your dial. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these messages. Announcements, upcoming events here. We are going out to do some more community outreach on Wednesday night, door-to-door. Going to meet here at 6 p.m. and trying to take advantage of the daylight that we have there, a little bit left. We've covered a good bit in the church area, but there's still more to go. And just scratching the surface, really, even locally here in our corner of the county, South Bloomfield Township, there's still more that we haven't covered yet, so planning to do that. Next Sunday night, there's going to be an elders meeting at 5 p.m. Also, the Women's Ministry Fellowship Committee is going to meet at that same time, I understand. So that's planned for next Sunday night for the evening service. And then again, on October 30th, we're planning a roundup night, fellowship night for the cowboys and cowgirls of all ages. So be sure to sign up on the bulletin board for some food. If you can bring some food, some vittles, rather. These are vittles. This is Cowboy Night Roundup. And so I just encourage you to do that. We're going to try to have a best dressed cowboy and cowgirl competition, so be sure to get your cowboy hat, cowboy boots, and whatever else you have, and we'll have a competition with a prize for the best dressed cowboy and cowgirl. So October the 30th. And then Daylight Savings Time is coming to an end, November the 1st, that's a Sunday, falling back an hour. And then, of course, the election's right around the corner, November the 3rd, just 15 days away or so, just a little over 2 weeks. So that's coming up as well. All right, other announcements. I'm mentioning the guidelines again. I think all of you have probably are aware of those. But again, just in asking the health commissioner what guidance to follow, she has confirmed to me there's no other guidance besides these from the Ohio Department of Health for religious services. And so my suggestion is that we follow those and appreciate the way that they're stated. It could be worse, as in other states like California and other areas as well. But I'm just suggesting that we do that. And again, you know, this is one of those areas that people have a lot of different opinions about. Even in our own church, you have this spectrum of opinions and views on the pandemic. And you've got, you know, extreme caution, and then you've got the pandemic is a hoax all the way over here. And you've got people all the way, you know, in between those two extremes. And that's fine. That's all right. As long as it's not sinful, you can have a different view from somebody else, just like in other areas. But you do have to respect the views other people have as well. And so we need to do that. Birthdays. Again, sorry about Frida. She her birthday was wrong in the directory, but it was last Friday, October 16th. And we have some others coming up. Donna Ray on October 20th this week. Carol Mattia, one of our missionaries, on October the 23rd. Jake and Julie Ray on October 24th. As well as Randy Studdard, one of our missionaries, on October 24th. So that's coming up this week. And then I want to have some testimonies here. If you'd have anything you'd like to share, we'll open it up in a few moments. And just encourage you, if you have a prayer request or a blessing, a way the Lord has worked recently you'd like to share, just encourage you to do that. I'll share a couple prayer requests here from today. We're praying for Tom Evans as he's having eye surgery this Wednesday. He's having surgery on his retina, and he's going to have to lie on his face for 7 days. In recovery. I'm not sure if that's continuous or just for most of the time, but he is having to do that. So we are trying to line up some meals for the Evans to help them out in that recovery process. And Barb Cost is coordinating that. So if you could let her know if you're able to do that, help out with a meal. It was great to have the ladies meet this past Tuesday. There were 7 ladies that came out. And we were able to record the devotional lesson that was given. And so thankful for that. And for those that aren't able to, ladies that aren't able to come out, it is posted on our website. I'm thankful that Lillian is doing better this week. She was sick last Sunday. She couldn't make it out. She's here, as well as all the kids. You just never know on Sundays that roll around, you wake up and somebody else is sometimes sick, so I'm thankful they're all here. The Gossmans are in Colorado visiting their daughter and her family. They're going to be flying back this week, so pray for safety for them. Also, Steve Lewis is traveling, I believe, down in West Virginia, and Debbie came up with a head cold this morning, and so she was not able to come. So just pray for Debbie to feel better. It's great to also have Mr. Reynard here with us. He's been having a lot of trouble with pain, but he's got some help with that, so we praise the Lord for that. It's good to have him here tonight as well. Norm had mentioned his brother having some severe headaches, and he's having an MRI result that's coming back this week. So pray for Norm's brother, John. And Sue had mentioned her sister-in-law, Wanda, was able to get cancer treatment finally. And then Scott, we're praying for his business. There's an important auction, I think, it's coming up. Is it this week or next week? The end of the month. Okay, so just pray for Scott with that important event coming up for him, for his business. And then speaking of Frida, she's going to be having knee replacement surgery in January. So she's planning that 1st of January to have her second knee done. So just remember Frida. All right. Well, would you have any testimonies tonight? Anything you'd like to share? We'll open it up for testimonies. Anybody tonight? Yes. Anybody else? Any other testimonies? Yes, Scott.
I just I have a praise because of COVID. Kind of funny, but I just praise the Lord that I've been able to stay at home pretty much for 14 years. Pretty much, I would leave on Monday and get back Thursday or Friday. And it's really nice to be able to be home every night.
Amen. That's a blessing for Scott from COVID, not having to travel. All right. Anyone else tonight? Any other testimonies? Yes, Mr. Renard.
I'd like to thank everybody for their prayers on my behalf. The Lord's been gracious to me. I haven't quite found out what happens to my back, but I don't have to do anything. Even when I get out of bed, it'll hit. And I still need your prayers, so don't forget me. The Lord's still working on me and with me. And I'd like to make a prayer request for Carla Rossiter. I don't know if you remember her, but we used to pray for her because of her eyes and the trouble that she was having. Well, they found out that she has polyps in her thyroid. Never heard of that. But she hadn't found out yet, you know, what if they're cancerous or not. But it's worrying her pretty good, and it should, because the thyroid is pretty important in your body. It does a lot of functions. But just keep your prayer on her.
Right, so Carla Rossiter, pray for her with a thyroid issue she's having. That was Joyce's niece, is that right?
Well, both our nieces.
Both your nieces, yeah, okay. So she's down in Gallipolis.
Correct.
So pray for Carla Rossiter. All right, anyone else? Anybody else tonight? Yes, Jenny? Kelly Burgess is a teacher that Jenny had in high school, a Christian teacher. He has cancer. He's not doing well right now. So pray for him and his family in Kansas. Smith Center, Kansas. If you know where that is. It's west of Jewell. Anybody else tonight? Yes, Mr. Wright.
I'd just like to thank the Lord for this, for his strength and guidance through this year. I mean, it's been, for me, my mom being in the nursing home, my mom was getting to the point where she don't recognize me. Thinks I'm another worker, my folks. But anyway, I've only been able to see her twice, I think, this year. Starting to talk again where I can go in and see her personally in one room, just us two. But, and then a lot of other things with when this COVID thing hit, there's a lot of issues that I'm trying to deal with my mom and other things around the farm that we're doing. And it's, I thank the Lord for. Because sometimes it was getting really tummy, things wasn't progressing or I wouldn't get the results the way I thought it should be. And I still got a couple things out there now. Because when you deal with the government, talk to them, you may get something in a month, you may get something in a hand. Some of the things I need this fall, right now. And so. But I just thank the Lord for, that scripture says that he won't put no more on us that we can stand. But, I mean, sometimes it seems pretty heavy. And, boy, it's just a trial, a test for us. But I thank the Lord because one thing I had relied on him a lot is I do a lot of praying every day. Certain situations just want to be coming into my life that week. Anybody else? Any other testimonies tonight? Anybody else? Just mention again our gospel packages out there. It looks like this, in case you don't know. Okay. We, as of this morning, we had 120 left that were out on that table. We started with 700 back in July. And you know how many we have now? Okay. This morning it was 120. We had those in stacks of 20, and just the challenge to try to get those out before the election, as that track deals with the election. Still would be good afterwards, but let's just try to get those out before the election. And so last week we had 300. Today we have 140. Today, and so let's try to get all those out. We'll give them out Wednesday nights, but feel free to take a stack of 20 and try over the next 2 weeks to give those out to somebody somewhere, your neighbors or co-workers or whoever you can think of, really. I understand that Becky was able to get permission, I think, for Bennington Glen for, I think, around 80 of them, so some are going out there and other places as well. So just a challenge for you to try to do that. And hopefully we can get those all passed out. And pray that the Lord would use them. There's also some other tracts. Feel free to avail yourselves of those. There's some counseling pamphlets there in the track rack. Deal with issues such as depression, anger, fear, worry, addictions, and marriage. And they are not exhaustive on those issues, but they are some biblical counsel on those issues that people should consider, as well as Christians or non-Christians. The gospel is presented in those, so feel free to take those as well. All right, well, we'll have another song now, so have Ben come. Appreciate Ben tonight leading the singing, and also Isaac is playing the piano. So appreciate that. And also Walker is helping to run the sound today. So we appreciate that, along with Scott
And so just thanks to them.
And we'll sing number 118, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, and Let's Stand. Number 118.
I invite you to take your Bibles now and turn to Joshua chapter 13. Joshua chapter 13. So we've been looking at this book. We've gone over kind of a big picture overview here, and we've seen that the first five chapters deal with the invasion of Canaan. We saw the spies sent to Jericho, the Jordan River cross, the memorials that were set up just after that, the spiritual preparation that the people went through. And then we've just come through the second major section of Joshua, chapter 6 through 12, which was the conquest, the campaigns that Joshua led the people on to go and capture the various cities. And there was the central campaign, Jericho and Ai. Then there was the southern campaign, beginning with Gibeon and the cities in chapter 10. And then there was the campaign to the north in chapter 11, and a review of the victories there in the end of chapter 11, and also that catalog of conquered kings in chapter 12, all the kings that they conquered there. And then the third major section of Joshua is the division of the land. And that's what we're coming to tonight, this third major section, chapters 13 through 21, the division of Canaan, and then the final section is the conclusion, chapters 22 to 24. Now, maybe we have some readers here tonight, and what do you do when you feel like you just want to read a good book? Have you ever thought about going to your file cabinet, pulling out maybe your titled documents to your car, or maybe to your home, and you just settle down in your easy chair and look over those titles that you have? Anybody do that? Probably not. We don't think about those documents as just sort of easy reading, but they're important documents. They're important documents. You want to get a hold of them and don't lose them. And what we have here in this section here, chapters 13 through 21, is kind of like that. They're kind of like title deeds. They show the areas of the land that God had given to the various tribes of Israel. They're not easy reading. They're kind of tedious, but God chose to record them in Scripture and to preserve them, and they're these important sections, important titles, title documents to the land. We're going to focus just on chapter 13 tonight, and we find in this chapter two major divisions. The first section is verses 1 through 6. We have the command to divide the land. And then the second section we see in this chapter is the land divided to the eastern tribes. And this chapter, the second part of it, deals with the portions that were given to one unique segment of Israel, and that is the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They had their portion of the land on the east side of the Jordan. There was a special reason for that. You may remember. We're going to review that tonight. On the back of your song sheet, I give you a map that shows where these tribes are located. So you can have a visual of that. But you see them on the east side of the Jordan River. They're in color there. And all the other tribes on the west side. The following chapters deal with the remaining tribes and the portions that were assigned to them on that west side. But tonight we're just looking at this one chapter, chapter 13, and I'm not going to read every portion of it, but I will read the first six verses here, this first section, where we find the command that's given to Joshua from God to go ahead and divide up this land. So notice Joshua chapter 13 and verse 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines, and all Geshuri, from Sihor, which is before Egypt, even unto the borders of Ekron northward, which is counted to the Canaanite, five lords of the Philistines, the Gazathites, and the Ashdothites, and the Eshkalonites, and the Gittites, and the Ekronites, and also the Avites, from the south, all the land of the Canaanites, and Meara, that is beside the Sidonians, unto Aphek, to the borders of the Amorites, and the land of the Giblites, and all Lebanon, toward the sun rising, from Baal-Gad, under the Mount Hermon, unto the entering into Hamath, all the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon unto Mizrephothmaim, and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. So we see this command. God commands Joshua, go ahead, divide up this land to the Israelites. And notice the motivation for the command here in verse 1. Thou art old. He's speaking to Joshua. Joshua was old and stricken in years. So he wasn't just old, he was stricken in years. And the Lord reminded him of it. Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. How old was Joshua? Well, he may have been around 100. At this time. We know that in Joshua 24, it's recorded that Joshua died at 110. God allowed him to live to that very old age and allowed him to see many things accomplished in his lifetime. But God comes to him and reminds him about his age. I like what Matthew Henry said about this. He said, it's good for those who are old and stricken in years to be put in remembrance of their being so. Some have gray hairs here and there upon them and perceive it not. They do not care to think of it. therefore need to be told of it, that they may be quickened to do the work of life and make preparation for death, which is coming towards them apace. So God reminds Joshua, you're old, you're stricken in years. And why did he tell him that? He told him that as a motivation for this command. He didn't say, Joshua, you're old, stop everything in life. Don't do anything else. No. He said, you're old, and here's something I have for you to do. Here's this task that remains unfinished, which in fact God had originally commanded Joshua to do back in the first chapter of Joshua. Joshua 1:6, God came to him and said, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land. So way back at the beginning, when Joshua was just taking on the leadership of Israel, God had reminded him, I want you to not only conquer the land, but divide it up for an inheritance among the people. And so God called him to do it. Now, this important job was given to a man of great age and vast experience. He didn't say to Joshua, go and find someone else to do it. He said for Joshua to do it. And you also notice that it was a different ministry for Joshua at this time. God came and Joshua had been involved in conquering, going forth and going up and down through the land in these military conquests. And now God comes and says, okay, now there's a different ministry that he has for him, and it is this ministry of dividing up the land. There was this unfinished task. I'm going to give you a couple more lessons here tonight as we go through this, but this is the first one. What can we learn from this? We need to finish the tasks that God has given us to do, no matter how old you are, we are. Finish the tasks God has given you to do, no matter how old you are. Do you have any unfinished tasks? Don't give up before they're done. I heard a radio preacher here recently on the radio. I was listening in the morning, and he said this, I think, if I'm remembering it right. He said, if you're not dead, you're not done. If you're not dead, you're not done. And that was true for Joshua. You know, he was old, he was stricken in years, but God was not done with him yet. He said, you got to do this. There's this task that needs to be done. And so I think there's probably a special message there for, you know, the seniors, senior saints. You know, God still has things for you to do. Yes, there may be changes in the type of things that he has for you. There may be different types of things, maybe a different type of work or ministry than that he had for you in other periods of your life. But what is it that God wants you to finish in the time that he has left for you? What is it? What does God want you to finish? There's a task that he has for you. And then as we come through this passage here, we see the area that was part of the command, verses 2 through 5. It's described for Joshua from the south to the north there. And there's still work to be done. There's still people living in this area, still Canaanites that were living there. But God gave a promise that went along with his command in verse 6. Notice what he says. All the inhabitants of the country from Lebanon unto Mizrephathmaim and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel, only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. There was still work to be done. There were still Canaanites to be driven out. Joshua had not done everything. What God intended was for these individual tribes to take their portion of the land and to finish the job. Joshua had done kind of a survey of the entire land, a conquest there, and now it was up to these individual tribes to do what God had commanded them to do. But Joshua needed to divide them up, give them their portions. But there was a promise here that I will drive out from before the children of Israel all these Canaanites. God promised his power to drive them out. And yet they had to be obedient. They had to do what God had given them to do. And so we see a second lesson, which we find all throughout the book of Joshua, and that is, trusting God's promise, we need to obey faithfully. Trusting God's promise, obey faithfully. That's what Joshua had done from the very beginning. God had these commands that he had given him. Joshua had to believe what God said he would do and obey. And that's something that's true in our lives as Christians. You know, when we get saved, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we have a position before God that is righteous. We have Christ's righteousness imputed to our own account. And yet, we find the book of Philippians that Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's still areas that need to be submitted to the Lord, areas of obedience, areas where we need to deal with sin. And the same is true in our own lives, that God has given us a promise, a position even, and we need to obey him faithfully. That's how we grow as Christians. And then we see the process that's commanded here in verse 6. This is how Joshua was to divide up the land. Notice what it says. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. The process was by lot. This was a process that put the decision about who got what area of the land into God's hands. It was not something Joshua came up with on his own. God was superintending the whole process and designing who got what portion of the land. So how did that work? Well, perhaps the names of the tribes in one basket, the borders, the areas of the land in another basket, something like that, and a name drawn and an area drawn, and that was the area that tribe got. And they had to be content with that. They would have had to recognize that God was working in that determination. This reminded me of something when I was in high school. I went to a Christian high school, and we had a Bible class for the 11th and 12th graders. And one unit, we had a study on the Christian home, or Christian family. It was something like that. And we had a project one time where the teacher said that we were going to have a group project, and we were going to be dividing up the boys and the girls. And the idea was, you know, it was some kind of project where you have, you know, a boy and a girl together working on this Christian home project. I forget what it was exactly. But so he had, if I remember right, he had two baskets, the boys and the girls in the class, and he just randomly took a boy's name and a girl's name. And so he got all through that, and then there wasn't an even amount of boys and girls in the class. And so he got all down to it, and there were two names left, and one was me, and one was another boy. And so it was supposed to be this Christian home project. You know, he had me and this other boy working together. So he probably didn't know what else to do with that. You know, as you put, you know, one of us with another couple, you know, so that wouldn't quite work too well. But so anyway, we worked on it together, me and this other boy, and I guess we did all right with it. But anyway, that was somewhat related to the drawing lots by the land. And actually, I was doing this afternoon. We had a pie for dessert. Actually, it was just half a pie we had left. And we had some people that were going to have pie, but it ended up to be, I knew that four people were going to have pie in our family. So it wasn't cut up yet, and I had to divide it up equally among those four people, give them out, and the other people were having a different dessert. We had a dessert auction at school this week, so we had some desserts. But you know how those things work, right? If you do something, you give a portion to somebody and they don't quite like it, there's a possibility there for contention, all right? When you're dividing things up, trying to be fair, and yet sometimes it just doesn't work that way. But I think it was fine today with the pie. But there would have been that potential for Israel too. But evidently they saw that this was God's way of assigning their portion to them. And they accepted that. And so here's another lesson that we can learn from that. Lesson number three, that is to accept what God has assigned to you. Accept what God has assigned to you. You know, we like to think that we have lots of choices and freedom in life, and we do. But there is much that we have no control over. There's things that God has assigned to us. And we need to accept that God knows best. One of those things is your family. You didn't really choose to be born into a certain family. God chose that for you. Your talents, the gifts that God has given to you or not given to you. What you look like. Your personality. Your school, your friends, your ministry. God has assigned to you what He wants, and we need to accept it, be content, and serve Him where He has placed you. Accept what God has assigned to you. And that brings us into the second section here, which is the land divided to the eastern tribes. We see in verses 1 through 6 this command to Joshua to divide the land. And then we see the land divided to the eastern tribes. I'm not going to go through and read all that, but we have a summary of the eastern tribes in verses 7 through 14. We're told who they are. And then the area that they are to inhabit, there's a description of that. And then we come to verses 15 to 33, and we have the assignment of these individual tribes. Look at verse 15. You have the Reubenites. Moses gave unto the tribe of the children of Reuben inheritance according to their families. Then you have these areas, these cities that are listed where they are. And then you jump down to verse 24, and you have this next tribe, the tribe of Gad, verses 24 to 28. And their inheritance is assigned. And then you have the half-tribe of Manasseh in verses 29 through 33. We're told what portions they got. And there's also a note in verse 33 about the Levites. But unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them. So the Levites were scattered all throughout, as you remember, these tribes, but also the tribes on the west side of the Jordan River. But as we think about these eastern tribes, there is a backstory to this that we need to remember, and I think we've done this before, but let's go again to Numbers chapter 32, Numbers chapter 32, where we have this backstory about these tribes, Reubenites, Gadites, half-tribe of Manasseh, Numbers chapter 32. Numbers 32, notice verse 1. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon, and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Eliah and Shebam and Nebo and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And we see Moses' reaction to that. But Moses was not at first really excited about that request. And he really questions whether that would be good for them. But they see this land, they like it, they have all this cattle, they feel like this is where they need to be, they want that land. And Moses really asks them, instructs them, makes them covenant that they will go and help their brothers cross the Jordan and take the land and then go back over to the eastern areas that they would be given. And then jump down to verse 20. Moses said unto them, if you will do this thing, if you will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over the Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord, before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. That famous verse, that was spoken to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Moses was warning them, if you don't go and help your brothers, be sure your sin will find you out. And so they agreed to that. And you remember Joshua, at the beginning of Joshua, he reminds them, listen, you better be faithful to your word and help us and go over and cross the Jordan. Don't just sit in these well-watered lands and let your cattle feed on these lands. He says, you come and do this. And so that's the background to these eastern tribes. They wanted this land. Remember, this was the area that they first saw before they crossed the Jordan, when Moses was still leading the people. They wanted that land, and now we see that they were assigned this area. Now, I want to ask you a question. Was that the best thing for them? Was that wise? You know, as we look at the rest of Israel's history, we find out that that area on that eastern side of the Jordan was actually an area that became very vulnerable. There's no natural border for those tribes. And we find that when those eastern kings came raiding across to Israel, those eastern tribes were the first ones that bore the brunt of that. They were the buffer zone. And we could go to 1 Chronicles chapter 5, and we find out that actually those tribes on the eastern side of the Jordan were carried away captive 20 years before the captivity of the 10 northern tribes on the west side of the Jordan. They were actually conquered much earlier than the other tribes. And so you look at the choice that they made, and basically it was a choice that was very much like somebody else who made a choice for a similar reason. You remember who that was? That was Lot. Abraham's nephew. Remember, Lot wanted the well-watered plains, and Abraham let him have that. But what happened to those well-watered plains? Well, they were very near Sodom and Gomorrah. Eventually, Lot found himself there in Sodom. And, of course, you know the story that God destroyed those cities, and a similar thing happened here. They both eventually lost their portion. What can we learn from that? Well, here's our final lesson here. It's just a reminder for us to allow God to choose His best for you. Allow God to choose His best for you. You know, what looks to be the best thing to us may actually not be the best thing from God's perspective. Not always, but sometimes. What looks to be great, this is going to be wonderful, and we can see how everything's going to work out. Well, it may not be true. And so we find that these eastern tribes are a lesson to us to take time, not to rush, to pray most of all, and ask God what He wants. Ask God for wisdom. And to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. Allow God to choose His best for you and trust Him that it truly is the best. So may God help us to heed these lessons from the division of the land, to trust Him and most of all, to obey His will for our lives. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we recognize that You know best. We don't always see things the way they ought to be. And we pray, Lord, that You would direct us, guide us, show us what would be best for us. Show us the task that remains unfinished for us, and help us by Your grace to complete it with Your strength. And help us to be obedient to You, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.